You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 28th of August 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, the weekend is here, the end of the working week is nearby, and you know what that means? That means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
It's tough. It's a tough time, Sven. I tell you what, you know, for one thing, I can't get off the clown car. I you can't jump out of this thing. It just sucks you right back in. It's like you try to climb out of the window. It's like, I don't care. I'll take my chances just rolling on the ground, tuck and roll. But you can't. It just sucks you right into the clown car. And, for someone such as myself, I like to try to find humor in everything. And you know, just you've got to keep your humor about you in these insane, utterly insane times. And yet at the same time, real life is becoming, you know, it's making parody, it's making satire impossible because it's just becoming more and more ridiculous. And I think today's story is it's a perfect example of this. I mean, you sent this to me and I read through it and my mind was all twisted up. I'm like, I don't even know where the joke is here because the entire thing is a joke.
It's like we're living in a parallel universe, isn't it? It's like something went wrong. We went to war against Germany. And from that moment on, everything has been turned upside down and back to front. It's red noses here and honking clown horns there. And today we're going to be looking at Britain's first gay family, because they're welcoming in an engagement. The first gay father, or one of Britain's first gay fathers, has actually proposed to his daughter's ex-boyfriend while on holiday with them both. Let me just say that again. One of Britain's first gay fathers has proposed to his daughter's ex-boyfriend. Now, if this was a heterosexual relationship, you would be saying, hang on a minute, isn't that incest? Isn't that a little bit incestuous for the father to be getting off with the son's girlfriend? I mean, and then you add in the perversity on top of this, and yet we are supposed to be celebrating this. This reminds me of a TV presenter that we were told recently had been getting off with a 17-year-old boy, and he was forced into explaining that he'd actually been homosexual for the last 40 years, and his marriage was all a sham. He had two daughters as well, and instead of being condemned for cheating on his wife with other men all that time, it was celebrated, and we were told this was a wonderful thing simply because he was homosexual. And that's what we have here. And that's before we even get into the fact that you can't have two gay fathers. It's not biologically possible. But we're living in a world where we're supposedly biological reality no longer exists. We are being expected to live in this fantasy world where you can have two gay fathers and it's perfectly fine for one of them to start getting off with the daughter's ex-boyfriend. But I guess the daughter may not actually be his daughter as well. I mean, we just don't know. Hopefully we can unravel this by the time we get to the end of it. But Grandpa, what do you make of this first sentence here?
I don't know if it's possible to. I've had the luxury of skimming through this before going on air, and I'm not sure it's possible to unravel this because it is a knot of insanity, it is a backlash of insanity. But these are the sort of things we trudge through for the listeners to try to make sense of the things that are basically impossible to make sense of. No, you're actually absolutely right. I mean, imagine that this was a story of, say, a woman stealing her daughter's boyfriend, or like you said, a father stealing his son's ex-girlfriend. How would this be treated? And yet here, just because it's a homosexual angle, it's to be celebrated. It's more progress. They keep telling us all these things are progress, but what are we progressing towards? You know, you're just supposed to accept the fact that the word progress has a positive connotation to it. But I don't think it means the same thing for these people as it does for the rest of us, because we kind of think progress means things are getting better. If you're working on a big project and you look at it at the end of the day and you've been laboring at this and you go, wow, I'm making progress. You have a positive feel for that. But I don't think it has the same connotations here in our society, because I think we need to start seriously. It's past time to start seriously asking the question, what exactly are we progressing towards? Our project would have an end goal where you say, there, it's finished. I finished building this. I finished repairing. I finished restoring this thing. But I don't see an end to this thing. And I think it's time for society as a whole to ask exactly what are we progressing towards?
Well, it's not progression, is it? It's regression. We are regressing to the moral standards of bonobo chimpanzees. Barry Druitt Barlow, 50, who is originally from Manchester, is engaged to his bisexual assistant, Scott Hutchinson, 25, who previously dated his 20-year-old daughter, Saffron, for several months. So again, let's just project that into a heterosexual relationship, as you are bringing up there, Grandpa. It's as if the mother has started dating the boyfriend of the daughter, and not just the boyfriend of the daughter, but a boyfriend of the daughter who is young enough to be his own son, his own daughter. I mean, I'm getting confused with this already. As I said, how can he actually be the father if there's two of them? They say that there are two fathers of this child, and that's obviously not possible. And we'll get into what they actually did later on. But all of this, you're being urged to suspend your belief in the actual biological reality of the world that we live in, and also suspend all morality simply because these guys are homosexual. I mean, if this was heterosexual, he'd be known as a dirty old man. A dirty old man that had groomed a young girl barely out of her teens. That's the way that this would be looked upon. But because these are homosexuals, this is looked upon as you say, Grandpa, as progression. This is somehow something that we are supposed to be celebrating. And it gets even better than that. The couple announced earlier this year that they are expecting a baby together in October via a surrogate. And you look at that and you think, the couple, what are they talking about here? Are they talking about the daughter, Saffron, and her ex-boyfriend? Is the daughter pregnant and her ex-boyfriend is now engaging in sodomy with her so-called father? No, what we're talking about here is the so-called father has now arranged for IVF with the boyfriend. But that still doesn't explain to us, well, who is the father? How can you have two fathers here? And apparently it turns out that what they're doing is they're engaging in some form of Russian roulette. We'll get into that later on. But apart from that, also what he's doing is he's repeating what he's already done in, you know, with the other gay father who apparently still lives in the house with his gay boyfriend when they created this poor girl here, this poor woman here, who is obviously confused because apparently she's quite happy to go along with this. The fact she's quite happy to go along with it, I would suggest, shows that she's had quite a damaged upbringing because she doesn't really understand morality. What do you make of this, Grandpa, and the fact that apparently they're having a baby together in October?
None of this actually makes sense unless the children involved are gerbils. Seriously, got to laugh at this stuff because what the bigger picture of these stories like this, because we look at it and talk about these things, but these things are like a psychological assault on your mind, a spiritual assault even. But we'll stick with the psychological aspect because it is normally in our program, especially as men, white men in particular, we are programmed to try to fix things. When you're presented with information or a problem or a set of circumstances, the way our minds work is to start trying to make sense of it, try to figure out, okay, how does this work? And if it's not working correctly, how do we fix it? And so we're presented these narratives. It is literally an assault on your mind, because there is no making sense of it. It doesn't make sense. It can't make sense. It's completely nonsensical. And we're presented these things over and over again. Why is this a national news story, international even news story, that this is going on? If these were heterosexuals involved, it wouldn't be. This wouldn't be on the front page of any online newspaper or whatever the case may be. But yet it is. Why? What's the point? Well, you could just simply say, well, it's to promote the agenda. But yes, it's also to continue this psychological assault on your mind of trying to make sense of it. This is why I think humor is such a good defensive weapon, because they want you to take this seriously. They want you to read it and try to figure it out. And what's this about? And how is this possible? It's not possible. We all know it's not possible unless the children are gerbils and they're pulling them out. But that means somebody stuck them in. Somebody stuck them in there with their fist. No, we got to, but you got to laugh at it, because if you don't laugh at it, this stuff will actually start breaking you down mentally, where you just, and the idea, I think, ultimately is to get you to throw up your hands and say, I can't make any sense of the world at all, so I'll quit trying to figure out anything at all. And then they're free to do whatever they want. You'll just comply and go along and do what you're told, because you've given up on trying to make sense of the world, because they've presented you with so much nonsense.
I tell you, it really is an assault on the senses, because this sort of stuff, the instinct is of revulsion. I saw a picture a while back, and it was of these supposedly two fathers with the child. Now, you could see two men with a child. It might be the uncle and the father or something like that. And that's not too bad. But when you see two men showing a romantic interest in one another with a baby there, or a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, the instinct you feel is completely unsettlement. There's something here that is seriously wrong, severely wrong. And yet that is now being put across as, oh, look at this lovely picture of two men engaging in unnatural sexual acts with an infant there. I mean, it's horrific. It's really unsettling. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that puts people into a depression. And that is the reality of this. When you've got two men with a child that they have supposedly created, and that one of them is fulfilling the role of the mother. I mean, it's so deranged that we are celebrating this. This is what I mean by it's like we're living in an alternate reality. Why is it just us that are pointing out that this is totally twisted and just not in keeping with biological reality? Why is it just us? Why is it the mainstream media that are cheering this and encouraging this and praising this and saying that it's a wonderful thing? There are so many things that are wrong about this, from the sexuality side of it, to the IVF side of it, to this poor girl who's been denied having a mother all this time. She's had a man that's been pretending to be their mother all the time, to deceiving this girl and telling her that she's actually got two fathers when she's a child. So of course now she's just, oh, I'm not really bothered by the fact that my so-called father is sodomizing my ex-boyfriend. I mean, when did that start going on? Because don't forget, that's what it means to be a homosexual. To be a homosexual means that somebody engages in homosexual acts. When they say that, oh, my lovely 10-year-old boy here, he's come out of the closet, he's gay, that can only mean one thing: that child has been abused, that child has been groomed and abused in some way. You can only be a homosexual if you engage in homosexual acts, and even that has been taken out of the picture now. And you're supposed to just think that if a boy wants to play with dolls or whatever, oh, he must be a homosexual. Or if a girl wants to drive on a tractor or dress up in engineer's clothes, she must be a lesbian. Well, no, they're just a tomboy, and boys experiment when they're children with their girls' toys and what have you. It doesn't mean that they're going to grow up to be sexually deviant, but that's the way that it is pushed now, because they want to create as much sexual deviance as possible. They want to break us down. They want to break down our morals, and they want to destroy us, basically. That's what it comes down to. That is the only conclusion that you can reach through this. Well, this week, Barry took to Instagram to reveal that he and Scott are engaged, adding another layer into this, the falsity of gay marriage, sharing a video of the elaborate proposal that took place while on holiday with his daughter and her ex. And some people might say, well, what's wrong with two people love each other? Why do they have to be a man and a woman? Can't they get engaged? Can't they be married? Well, no, they can't, because marriage is all about the marriage act, consummating the marriage. For thousands of years, that's what marriage was. It was the consummation of the marriage act. This is why in some cultures, a woman would get kidnapped and then that would be it. She would be married. The same thing happens today in some Muslim countries. A Christian girl will be kidnapped. The Muslim will rape her effectively. And that's it. They are married, because that is what marriage is. That is the marriage act. It is the consummation of the marriage. And you're both supposed to be virgins, or the girl is supposed to be a virgin. That's the marriage act. And so what we've done by coming out and saying, well, we can have a homosexual marriage, they've basically introduced an equivalency between sodomy and the sex act that produces children. Really, that part of your body should be the most sacred part of your body, because it is used for producing children. And instead of producing children with it, they put it in the worst part of the body, in the waste part of the body. It has to be one of the worst things I think that anybody could do. It's a real FU to the creator of the universe and the creator of nature to go doing that with something that is supposed to be for creating new life. So because they can't create new life, they've gone into scientific ways of trying to break with nature, saying, oh yes, well, even though we can't have children, yes, we can have children, we can use science, we've progressed. And it's not a progression, it's a regression. Grandpa, before I blow my top here, what are your thoughts on this wonderful engagement that they're sharing with the world here?
We're progressing straight towards hell. Now you touched on something a minute ago, and I think it bears bearing down on a little bit, because people who go along with this, you know, people who will sit there and say, oh yes, it's just perfectly fine. When you engage with these people, and you know, they want to have this image, they sit there and say, oh, I think this is fine, y'all are just a bunch of homophobic bigots by not going along with this, because love is love and blah blah blah. But they want to have this fake vision in their head. They have, because let's be honest, we're usually talking about women in this context. You know, they wanted this fake vision in their head. Well, they're just such a cute, they're a couple, you know, they're a couple. And I've discovered that, you know, when you actually discuss it and just use, you know, literal terms for what it is, you know, like, you know, hairy man butt sex, you watch these people start cringing. The very people will sit there and say, oh, I'm so accepting of it. They're just a couple. Love is love. And when you start talking about it in terms, not trying to be ugly even or whatever, but you just, instead of using these, you know, these kind of vague terms that they use in these narratives, instead you bear down and use terms like, you know, hairy, sweaty man butt sex. And all of a sudden these people, you see them start cringing, and because they don't want to think about what's actually the dynamics involved here. They want to have this little, just, well, it's no different, it's the same thing, and it's they're a couple, see, they're walking around, who cares, you know, what they do in the privacy of their own home. But you do have to care, because it's not in the privacy of their home. This is a international news story. If we weren't hearing about this, if these stories weren't used as a weapon against people psychologically, against the culture, against society as a whole, we wouldn't care. We wouldn't know about it. We wouldn't hear about it. If some guy's doing, you know, hairy man butt sex in his own bedroom somewhere on the other side of the world, who's going to be concerned about that? I'm not going to be concerned about it. I don't really even care. But these things are used as a weapon. It's used as a weapon against culture, against society, against the mental health, the spiritual health of the people as a whole. And our society continues to degrade. And this is just one more chink that's used, one more chisel that's used to chink away the foundation of the society. And you look at it on its own, you say, well, how does that make a big difference? It makes a big difference as a whole. I mean, we have these things here, Sven, called fire ants. And let me tell you about fire ants. When you step in a fire ant mound, they're not like regular ants that, oh, I got bit. Fire ants are like coordinated, and they wait until they get like a thousand of them on your leg, and then all of a sudden they sting you at once. And it's not like one sting hurts, it's the fact that you got 100 of these little bastards stinging your legs, and you're like, get them off. You know, the one ant sting isn't bad by itself necessarily, but when you have 100 of them stinging you at once, and they're all up and down your leg, and you're wondering if they got up inside your underwear, you know, and you're out there, you don't care who's looking, you're stripping, you're trying to get these ants off of you. This is how these assaults work. This is just one single ant bite. But you look at our society as a whole, I mean, we are in the fire ant mound, and our society is being bitten by all of these thousands of different little things that are destroying the culture, destroying the people, and destroying the society as a whole.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? If it was just within their own home, it wouldn't be an issue. Nobody would even know about it. But because they've forced it onto everybody to see with the gay pride, because they've now got gay marriage, it means that it has to be taught to children that it's the equivalent of a heterosexual marriage, because they now are able to adopt children. Little children have to be told, well, this is perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal to see two men engaging in romantic desires towards one another with a small child there. Whereas, you know, that should be setting off all the alarms with everybody. Get that child away from them. That child is likely to be groomed and abused by them. And we've had lots of instances of children that have been abused by these homosexual so-called parents. There was one infant was being trafficked all around Asia by the poster boys for gay marriage in Australia. I mean, this is the sort of thing that will escape people's notice when they see two men walking along with a child and they've been programmed to think that's perfectly normal. How are you going to know whether that is child abuse? And of course, it is child abuse because the child's been taken away from the parent, but sexual child abuse. I'm not saying that all these homosexuals are likely to abuse children, but there is a much higher risk of children being abused by them. That's why we find that about 30% or more of pedophiles that are in prison are homosexual, and yet homosexuals only make up 2% of the population, or 1% according to some reports. So that tells you that there's a much higher risk of this abuse that goes on, and we're just handing these children over to them. Well, Barry followed up the post by sharing pictures of himself posing with both Saffron and Scott, and hailed his daughter as his everything. Well, would a normal family do that? Would they think that shows you how much your daughter means to you? You get off with your daughter's boyfriend? I mean, it is literally everything has been reversed in this story. And it gets worse. Barry and his former partner, Tony, 55, hit headlines in 1999 when they became the first same-sex couple to be formally registered as parents, even though that's not biologically possible. Their surrogates gave birth to twins, Aspen and Saffron. The fathers, who are worth £40 million and live in a £6 million 10-bedroom mansion in Florida, went on to have three more children. Again, they didn't have these children. They paid somebody else to have these children because they're filthy rich. And also because they're filthy rich, they can get away with doing whatever. I mean, a lot of the reason why we've had all this homosexuality pushed so much is because so much money has been pumped into it, because there are very rich people that wish to subvert society. And this is one of the ways that they do it, is by promoting transsexuality, by promoting homosexuality, by promoting pedophilia. That's the new one that they're pushing. They're trying to get people to not call them pedophiles anymore, but to call them minor attracted persons. I mean, they should really be called pedophiliacs, because it's an insult to the word philia, which actually means love. To call pedophiles pedophiles, they should be called pedophiliacs, because it's maniacal, it's psychopathic, the things that they're actually engaged in. But the pair, who made their millions through ventures including a surrogacy agency and medical research firm, became civil partners in 2006 and married in 2014. So they've actually made their money by selling this out to people, by selling wombs out to people, is how these people have made their money. I mean, it just gets sicker and sicker and sicker. And then you hear that Barry previously told how they slid into a platonic relationship after Tony was diagnosed with cancer in 2006. So what is it that you say at your wedding vows, for better or for worse? Well, as soon as his sleeping partner got ill, he decided to go off and start grooming and seducing his daughter's boyfriend. So he can't even be relied upon to remain in a loving relationship with the person that he claimed he wanted to marry. And we're supposed to be celebrating this. Grandpa, I've gone on for far too long here. What are your thoughts on these last few sentences?
Well, you just goaded me into going off on one of my tangents, because you touched on the whole pedophilia thing and the minor attracted persons, because this is another huge assault that they've done psychologically on the society, is they've blurred that line between actual pedophilia and non-pedophilia, because pedophilia is defined as an attraction to prepubescent children. And yet they run around, like, if a man gets discovered having a sexual affair with a 16-year-old girl, that's pedophilia. And they run around and scream, pedophilia, pedophilia, pedophilia. And you see that and people are like, well, she does kind of look good. You know, I mean, he shouldn't have done that, but. You know, and then your brain is trying to process, does that mean I'm a pedophile? And then they turn around and take actual literal pedophilia, somebody that's attracted to an 8-year-old, and they tell, oh, they're a minor attracted person. They're just a minor. You know, a minor. They're just under the age of 18. No, they're way the hell under the age of 18. They're like 8. You know, and this is another aspect of this massive assault on your mind. On your mental health, to break you down psychologically. This is happening on a widespread scale. It's just accelerated over the past couple of years even. And it's important. And I keep coming back to that because I think it really is. I mean, we're laughing at this because it is so absurd. But it is important, if the listeners don't take anything else away from this, understand it's happening. Because if you understand that's what they're doing, you'll be in a lot better place, because it's less effective. And you read these things and you're ready to pull your hair out and scream and just try to climb out of the clown car window, even though that's not possible. If you understand, okay, this is why this is happening. This is why they're presenting this to me. This is why this narrative is taking place. This is a plan. This is an attack on your psychological well-being. This is a part of a program, if you would, to break you down mentally and spiritually. And then when you're completely broken, you just give up. You give up trying to figure anything out. And I think that is something that's really is important that people take away from all of this.
Well, another side of this is when you get homosexual priests that go after 15, 14, 15, 16-year-old boys, they suddenly become pedophiles then, because they're within the church. Outside of the church, we have something like the trans kids or the drag kids. You've got that Desmond is amazing 10-year-old that is literally at gay strip shows with homosexuals throwing money at him. That's praised. That's just a homosexual culture there. When it happens within the church, though, then it's pedophilia. So again, we've got this disconnect here between what we see and what we hear going on. But as I was saying here, he's done the dirty on his quote unquote husband, who's actually got cancer. He said Scott, his personal assistant of 7 years, became a shoulder to cry on when Tony, who is now in remission, was in hospital during treatment in 2018. So he's been his PA for 7 years. And how old is he? I think they said, 25. So he's been his personal assistant since the age of 18. It used to be you had to be over the age of 21 to actually have homosexual sex. But obviously they've reduced that to the age of 18. Now they've reduced that to the age of 16. They did the other day, or last year, I think it was, they actually lifted all the criminal records of people that had raped children under the age of 16. Because they've changed the law now, they were saying, well, that should be retroactive. And these dirty old men that had done this horrible thing to children under the age of 16 40 years ago or 50 years ago, that they should have their criminal records lifted. Never mind the fact that they may have been groomed, or they may have been talked into doing this, and it was totally illegal back then. They've even managed to change that. Well, last year Barry announced that Tony remained his true love, but they had ended their 32-year relationship. So basically, they got an open relationship here, haven't they? We hear of homosexuals and how they don't actually stay with one person, and we see here that they can't stay with one person. As soon as one of them gets ill, they're that shallow, they have to go off and find somebody else who is young enough to be their son. Meanwhile, Saffron has said she is not bothered by her father and her ex's relationship, provided they are happy together. And I would say that, again, that shows you that this girl has been damaged in her view of what the world is if she's not bothered by this. Earlier this year, Barry revealed he's expecting a baby girl with his daughter's ex-boyfriend via a surrogate, with Barry's ex, Tony, agreeing to be the baby's godfather. Now, this is where it really does start to get confusing. How can he be expecting a baby girl with his daughter's ex-boyfriend? Is the daughter pregnant? Is the daughter pregnant and he's going to adopt this child? What is going on here? Well, their surrogate Marie is from San Francisco and has previously worked with the couple for their agency, the British Surrogacy Center, dragging the British name through the dirt here, I think. The couple transferred 3 blastocysts, which are the fertilized embryos, which were 2 girls fertilized by Scott and 1 girl fertilized by Barry. And they transferred these 3 blastocysts into this one woman. I guess then they've got like Russian roulette. They don't know who the father's going to be. Is it going to be one blastocyst that manages to settle within the womb? Are 2 of these blastocysts going to die? Apparently that's what's happened. They were expecting triplets, but they've only got 1 now. And again, this is another twisted side to do with IVF. Where for each child that is produced through IVF, there are a load of children that actually died because they fertilize these embryos and then they've got like the best of 10 goes or whatever it is. And one of them settles and the other 9 end up dying. And what you've got here is Russian roulette, basically. And I guess this is what must have happened the first instance they did this. They must have fertilized 2 embryos each and then settled that within the womb of the surrogate. And then just guessed who was, or not investigated to find out who was the actual father, if you see what I mean, because the surrogate would have only had 1 child, and yet she would have been implanted with 4 of these embryos, then that gives them the chance to say, well, we're both the father, because we both did this. And it's just so twisted. That's not an act of love, is it? Sticking a scalpel into an embryo and artificially fertilizing it, so just so that 2 rich gay men can pretend that they are actually parents. Now, apparently all 3 of them and the Druitt Barlow's children still live together in their Florida mansion, which has separate wings. So this rather incestuous relationship, this degenerate incestuous relationship, is all going on within one mansion, and we're being told we should be celebrating this. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this and the IVF system?
How is this not viewed as some form of child trafficking? You'll notice that the embryos, the children, the infants in this case are really treated like nothing more than just, you know, commodities. How is this not some form of trafficking? Because I guarantee you money's changing hands here. I guarantee this surrogate mother, she's not doing it for free. She's not going to go through 9 months of pregnancy for nothing. And we already know that these guys are rich. So we know money is changing hands. How is this not some form of child trafficking? And you look at this absurdity and all of this just white noise of insanity. And if you're a big picture looking type person such as myself, that likes to look at the big picture, and you see how things just build one thing after another after another. And one of the things that I can see where this comes from is, you know, for decades now in our societies, we have redefined love to equal lust. I mean, you know, you don't even have to get into the homosexual community. I mean, that's it. That's how things are in the heterosexual community. Love equals lust. And that's why you have people, well, like, we fell out of love. You fell out of lust. I mean, the lust goes away. And I talked about this on one of my recent shows. We touched on marriage, and I'm like, well, you have to understand when you get into these things. I mean, some point in time, if you base your relationship simply on lust, I mean, that's going to die off. That's just a normal fact of life. The lust is all going to die. And, you know, but we, you know, we have, as a society, redefined love to equal lust. And so a societal, quote unquote, progression of that is to just apply it to this homosexual stuff. You know, well, they're lusting after each other, so that equals love. Love is love. No, it's apparently lust is lust, which would be a more accurate description. And yeah, we wonder. You know, people are scratching their heads, looking at the insanity around us and wondering why our societies are doomed. It's not a question of why are they doomed. It's a question of why wouldn't they be doomed?
You know what they've done? You know, they've gone from presenting 2 men together. Oh, it's 2 men that love one another. They just want to get married. They just want equality. They just want to be treated the same as a man and woman that love one another. And in the space of a few years, they've gone from that to this degenerate ménage à trois that they've got here, where you can have multiple partners, you can inseminate multiple surrogate women, you can pay them to do as much, turning the children into commodities, and you can do all of that in front of this adopted daughter that they have, that was supposed to have a family upbringing the same as anybody else's. That's what we were told. It would be the same as anybody else's. It would just be that the father would be taking on the role of the mother. Well, the father is taking on the role here of a pimp, basically pimping out these wombs. And on top of that, he's taken the girl's ex-boyfriend, and he's now in a relationship with him while the other father is still there. And we're being told this is normal, and this is in the newspapers, and this is what is being taught to our children as normal, which is why I didn't give a warning at the beginning of this show, because unfortunately, this is the sort of stuff that is now filling our children's minds. I just hope that most of our listeners that have children are homeschooling. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming on, Grandpa. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.